It's good to be back here with you. Praise the Lord. All right, have a seat. Thank you. Thank you so much. Good to be back here with you in college. Got just a little bit of time, so I want to get right to it. All right. I'm so grateful for the opportunity to be here and to be able to preach this year. And it's been a great semester so far. I wanted to show you a picture in just a second, but how many of you flew in and maybe into Midway or O'Hare and you got that sick feeling in your stomach as you were coming in Chicago, back to responsibility, you know, I remember every time I'd go home to Kansas City and then come back into Midway and just that feeling of responsibility again. Well, listen, you're almost there. And I got a message for you this morning that I believe will be of help to you. But I wanted to show you something, if I could. Brother Daniel, if you've got those pictures ready. Oh, all right. That picture, not 1950. That was my freshman year. We were about ready to wrap up the whole year. It was the spring semester. You know, one of the best feelings in all the world was you're hitting the end of the whole year. And it was after the spring program had ended. Man, there was a lot of relief there. And, you know, you never know who you're going to go to college with or what they're going to be. I know a lot of times you look at your roommate and think, man, God will never use you. No, but I just want to point out a few people that I know. There's about 20 or so in that picture. And how many of you found me already? Yeah. I was in the wearing my spring collection outfit there. It was already spring. I was in white for some reason, cream. And I was a freshman, so give me a break. There's a few people in there I want to point out to you. There's so many, I could pretty much name most of them. But in that picture, here's just a few of those that are serving the Lord in ministry. Pastor Joe Vasek, Brother and Mrs. John Francis, Pastor Brad and his wife Holly Dalton, Mrs. Amber Bushy is in that picture. Pastor and Mrs. Kevin Strong, Mrs. Terry Shook in North Carolina. Mrs. Linda Wilkerson's in there. Pastor Chris Fugit. Pastor and Mrs., and I'll say it right, Charlie Clark. Brother Danny Mendez. There's a couple missionaries in that picture. Brother Dave Solt and Brother Brian George. Pastor's wife, Mrs. Jean or Jeannie Scott in Emporia, Kansas. Pastor Alan Johnson, Brother Darren Richards, who serves here on our staff. Pastor's wife in New York, Mrs. Roseanne Aguilera. A couple ladies in our church, Mrs. Luz Hernandez, Maria Rodriguez. Another pastor's wife, Mrs. Sherry Rogers. And then the last one, Mrs. Jerry Lynn Wilkerson. You know, when we took that picture, that was, I know you're going to whistle, but that was in the spring of 1988. There you go. And it's a long time ago. I praise the Lord. These are the people that I had the privilege of working with, laboring with in the bus ministry, and still serving the Lord, still on track. And so the person next to you, the right or the left, you never know what they're going to do. And I pray that God will help us. We won't even go there. I want you to take your Bibles. You ruined the whole illustration. No. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 in your Bibles. And thank you so much to my pastor for the opportunity to serve him. Oh, I have a few more. Don't I have a few more there, Daniel? Yeah, throw those up there. This is years later, present time. Yeah, this is the boys. The boys got together back in Arkansas. And, I was hoping you wouldn't laugh, but all these preachers, that was about a year ago. And I had a lot of fun doing that. Let's go to the next one. This was at a camp meeting about a year ago in October. And still some of the same people that I mentioned serving the Lord. And then we'll go to the next one. All right. These are some good men. So thankful for them. Brother Fredericks, Brother Mendez, Brother Vasek, Brother Horton, Brother Allen. And then this one I think you'll get a kick out of. All right. Amen. Amen. Oh, that's good stuff. Thank you, Daniel. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3 in your Bible. We're going to look at much of the chapter, and I need to go quickly, but Philippians chapter 3, let's look at verses 10 through 14. The scripture says in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know, it was no doubt that Paul faced many challenges in his life, his ministry, imprisonment, torture, and even shipwreck, but he never lost his focus. Christ was everything to him. And I want to say this to you this morning, that Jesus is our reward. You know, the semester is just about over, and many are making decisions about what to do for the next semester. Some are graduating and moving on into ministry and other things in their life. Some of you, you went home sick, and you got just enough rest to get back here and do it all over again. And a lot of us are in that situation. Many of you are excited because in a few weeks, we're going to be gone again for an extended break at Christmas time. Others, you're excited because we have a few couples, I believe, that got engaged. But it's in times like this that we need to stay focused. Having the proper focus is not just for now, but it's for the rest of your life. You must stay focused for your family, for your ministry. And so for the next few minutes, I want to take just the word focus, if you know how to spell that, five letters. And it's going to be a little bit of an acrostic if you want to write a note or so. I was going to do a fancy card, but I don't think I could match up to Brother Froelke. I want you to just take a note down or two. And let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity and just listening to our students sing. Lord, just blesses my heart. And I'm sure you love it even more. What a privilege to stand before them. What a privilege to serve in the First Baptist Church of Hammond and Hiles Anderson College. To serve with some amazing people here on the staff and faculty. Please, Lord, I need your help. Help my throat, help my voice. Help me to be heard. Help me to stay focused on what you have. But give us, Lord, that which we need today. And we ask these things in your precious name. Amen. I want to give you the first letter, but let's go ahead and take our Bibles and go to verses 7 and 8 of Philippians 3. We're going to look at a few verses before I give you that first thought. But verse 7 and 8, the scripture says, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." And of course, we read verse 13 and 14, but I'd like for you to go there. He says again, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." As we look at the word focus, the first letter obviously is the letter F. And here's the first point. If we're going to stay focused on the Lord Jesus Christ and keep our ministry right and keep our life in order with God, we're first of all going to have to forsake some things. You're going to have to forsake some things. You know, Paul was a scholar, and he prided himself in his Jewish heritage and religious accomplishments. It could easily be said that he was admired by many and feared by many at the same time. But when he met the Lord Jesus, everything changed. And so much that he viewed his accomplishments of his past as worthless in comparison to knowing Christ. His relationship with Christ was living. It was vibrant. And so, college student, this morning, let me just say that you'll have to forsake some things in order to follow Christ. The word press in verse 14, it means to follow after. It is an endeavor like a hunter pursuing his prey. You know that Christ is the goal. You can tell a lot about a person by what they flee from and follow after. And college student, let me just say that also that there is something bigger in life rather than in life than having all that you want. There's a lot of things that I want, but let me say this. I used to hear Brother Hiles in pastor school in the closing moments of the pastor's conference. And Pastor, you know what I'm talking about. Brother Hiles would always say to strike a match to your dream during that altar call. You know, if that were said today, I believe many of you would kind of hair-lip that and say, man, I got dreams. I got things that I want to do. But let me just say this to every one of you. True happiness is found when you give up your will and you follow God's will. It's been said that the will of God will never lead you where grace cannot keep you. And it's about time that college students, as you consider what you're going to do for your life, there's going to have to be some things that you forsake. And listen, God's been good to me, and God's been good to our faculty and our staff. And I want to tell you something. I wouldn't trade this life for anything. You know, you think about the push for money and the push for wealth and power and prestige. I want to say this. All of those things ought to pale in comparison to following what the will of God is. Paul decided he was going to forsake some things. That second letter, letter O, just in case you need help with spelling the word focus. All right. Look at verse 15 and 16. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if any thing ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Listen, if we're going to stay focused on the Lord Jesus Christ for the rest of our life, number one, letter F, we're going to have to forsake some things. Letter O, we're going to have to obey the rules. Obey the rules. You know, in the Greek games, judges were very strict. Any infringement of the rules disqualified the athlete. No, he didn't lose his citizenship, but he sure disgraced it. And here Paul reveals the importance of following God's rules for Christ-like living. You know, it is important to run this race with every fiber of your being. Run hard, college student, but let me also challenge you, obey the rules along the way. Throughout your lifetime, you'll find many who started out right, but later became a casualty due to sinful choices. Obey the rules and follow after righteousness. And let me, I don't like to say this, but you know and I know, we've seen casualties already in our life and in our ministries. And it's a hurtful thing. It ought to grieve our hearts, but it also ought to challenge us that you're not exempt and I'm not exempt. And we need to obey the rules. Here's some areas where I think maybe you need to pay attention to. In your ministry, are you ethical? Are you good to the people that you serve on that ministry, in that ministry? Are you honest with your numbers? Are you honest in your activity report? How about your dating relationship? Are you appropriate? Are you following the rules? You say, well, I'm following the rules at the college, but outside of the college, are you following the rules? Listen, if we're going to keep our focus, we're going to have to forsake some things, but also we're going to have to obey the rules. How about your classes? This is probably the principle coming out in me, but if you're walking in late, do you signify that you've been tardy? Are you signing in for other people? Are you cheating? Plagiarism? All these things. You say, that's just a little thing, but yeah, little things become big things. Obey the rules. In your job, are you ethical? Are you good with your boss? Do you give him or her a good, solid day's work? Are you on time? Are you respectful? Are you contributing to that company? How about your private life? You know, it's one thing that I talk to individuals about in this area of the downtime of life when nothing's going on in that free time, in that quiet time. And then also, let me say this, your conduct in the dorms. You know, there are a lot of things that I'm sure that Brother Rob and Brother King have discussed with you men. I don't know what's going on the ladies' dorm floor, but men, let me just say this. What's your conduct like? How are you acting? I don't know if I should tell a story, but I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway. I remember I was a new, brand new bus captain. Mrs. Bushy was one of our lady workers, and I had just started dating this gal, and Mrs. Bushy, you know, we were dropping off, and she said, Brother Jesse, that girl that you're dating, she goes, I don't know. She lives on our dorm floor. And I think I only had like maybe two dates with that individual. That was the last time I dated that individual. Why? because that lady bus worker said, you know, she lives on our dorm floor. I don't know about that. I don't know about that situation. I've seen the way she's behaved. And the fellas, let me just say this to you. What's your conduct like in the dorm floor? I mean that. And so we will live one way here in chapel. We'll live one way out in our classes. But how do you act in that dorm floor? Follow the rules. Letter C. Look at verse 17, 18, and 19. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame. Notice this, who mind earthly things. Here's the third letter, the third thought, and the word focus. You're going to have to forsake some things. Number two, you're going to have to obey the rules. Thirdly, if we're going to stay focused, you got to care for yourself. Care for yourself. Here, Paul warns the Philippian church of those who would get them to turn away unto another gospel. And if you're going to follow Christ, you'll have to find good, godly examples and separate from anything that would get you off course. This has been said by our pastor, and I appreciate it so much. And everybody should have taken knowledge and note of what he had said. Who do you follow? What podcasts are you listening to? Who are you reading? Who are you following, whether it be in social media or other venues? Remember, why don't you help me with this phrase, all right? Finish it for me. Remember that doctrine determines. And then also finish this one. Don't be bored with the... And see, you know these things, but somebody new comes along, somebody youthful, somebody hip comes along and finds this new truth, and all of a sudden, hey, I think I like that, and you forsake the doctrine that God has given you from older men who have passed it down. And listen, I want to say this to you this morning. We need you, young people. We need you, college students. Listen, I don't know how much time I have, and my days may be limited, but we need you. We need you to take the baton and run with it and not turn back and hold true to the doctrine that you've been taught. Stay on guard from that which would not be profitable for you as a Christian. Stay on guard from that which would be a reproach to the name of Christ, to your church, to your family. And so letter C, care for yourself. Do you know that I can't live my life for you in a sense? I can't stay right with God for you. You have to do that yourself. I need to walk with God for myself and lead my family. And I want to be a testimony to you. But ultimately, you hold the power and the opportunity to have a good testimony. And you have to walk with God yourself. I remember years ago, Brother Hiles preaching a message, walk in the light of your fire. And he said, you know, for all these years I've provided fire for you from a chapel platform and college classes and ministry. But when you get out of here, you're going to have to provide fire for yourself. You're going to have to go and meet with God for yourself. Men, you're going to have to go and meet with God for your family. Brother Ray Young, I heard him preach a message years ago. He said, they need you to need him. And listen, your family's going to need you, men. But if you're not walking with the Lord, if you're fooling around, acting foolish and doing sinful things, listen, you're not going to lead anybody. It's going to be a train wreck. And God help us today to realize that if we are going to stay on focus, we're going to have to forsake some things. We're going to have to obey the rules. And thirdly, you're going to have to care for yourself. Walk with God yourself. Here's the third or the fourth letter, the letter U. The letter U. Go to verses 10. 11 and 12. I know we've read these already, but the scripture says, I want you to note this, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering and being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. This fourth letter in the word focus, letter U, is understand your calling. Understand your calling. You know, it was very evident if you look at Paul's life, and especially in Acts chapter 9, but Paul said that I may know him, that I may know him. If you study Paul's life, it was very evident that Paul knew the Lord. Someone once said that his relationship with the Lord was personal. It was powerful. And at times it was painful. You know, many people know of the Lord, but how many people know him? Scripture commands us to know God. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever." So college student, here it is. Your calling in life is to know God. I want to encourage you to find a place on this campus, if you have not done so, find a place on this campus where you can get to know God and meet with him regularly, where you can talk to him like you do with other people, very comfortable, and get to know the Lord Jesus Christ and get to fellowship with him, because you're going to need that as you get out into the ministry. You're going to need that as a father. You're going to need that as a mother. You'll need that as a husband. You'll need it as a wife. You'll need it as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your calling in life is to know God. Do you know him? Let me give you this last letter, and the word focus. It's a letter I won't say yet. Look at verse 20. "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the work whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." I want you to notice those, that word, our conversation. So here's the last letter. First of all, I said we're going to have to forsake some things. We're going to have to obey the rules. We're going to have to care for ourselves and then understand your calling. But the last letter, S, set your eyes toward heaven. Set your eyes toward heaven. The Bible says our conversation, those two words, our citizenship is in heaven. So here's the question, are you living like a citizen of heaven? Are you anticipating his coming? Do you live having an eternal purpose? Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses," the Bible says, "lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us." And notice this word, "and let us run with patience." Notice this phrase, "run with patience the race that is set before us." The Bible goes on to say, "looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." You know, weights, what are weights? They are not things that are not necessarily sinful, but they are things that do hinder our race. And sin is a transgression of God's law. And the scripture reminds us to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. You know, the purpose of giving up our weights and the purpose of giving up sin is so that we can run our race more effectively. Too many of you in this room, if we're honest, too many are carrying a lot of unnecessary baggage. And that's why life is such a struggle. 2 Timothy 2:4 says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." May I remind you this morning that we are all soldiers for the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe it's time that we start putting some things away. What's the weight that's in your life right now? It's not necessarily sinful, but it's holding you back. What is the sin? It's that thing that you're thinking of right now that oftentimes you'll come to the altar and ask the Lord for forgiveness. Maybe today is the day where you really decide, I'm done with this. Because I've got to run this race effectively for Christ. I've got to run this race. I got to get rid of all the baggage that I'm carrying. If I'm going to run this race, if I'm going to lead some church someday, if I'm going to lead a congregation, if I'm going to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ, I got to give some things up. I hesitated to tell a story, but I ran it by a few people, and I think I feel pretty comfortable in saying it. But it was about 22 years ago when I got to Arizona, and I took on a little bit of an extra job just so I can help provide for the needs of my family during Christmas time. And I worked at the post office, worked third shift, and worked on the docks and the main hub there in at the Tucson post office. And there was a fellow there at that job who really, I mean, he was something else. And many of you, you probably have somebody like that in your job. And he'd walk in and just constant cursing and swearing. and he's just always going out for a cigarette, you know, smoke, and he just permeated, you know, that cigarette smoke just permeated from him. You know, one day, we were throwing boxes around on the dock and loading things up, the carts up, and he just would not stop. But this time, he began to curse God's name. And, you know, it began to start here at my feet and work its way up, you know, and he was cursing God's name. And I went up to him. We had a group meeting, a team meeting there. And after the meeting was over, I went and talked to him. I said, hey, and I called him by name. I said, you know, I'd appreciate it if you wouldn't curse God's name. I said, I'm a pastor in this area. And I said, I'd appreciate if you wouldn't do that. He looked at me. You know, if you ever said something like that, you got one of two things that can happen. They get mad at you or they, you know, they apologize. This guy looked at me and he said, I'm sorry. I am so sorry. I mean, I was surprised that I got that response. And I'm so sorry. You know, that whole night, Pastor, he didn't say a thing, hardly. I took away half of his language. And I mean, just really, he was quiet. I don't know what I said or how I said it, what happened. At that moment, I didn't know what was going on. Well, a few days went by and we were wrapping our tour up. That's what they would call it when you served your time over there. And it felt like prison, but served our time there. But last night, it was Christmas Eve. We're just throwing boxes down the conveyor belt. Last few boxes and ready to go out for shipment. And we're throwing boxes down, and this guy looks at me and he says, you know what? He goes, Jesse, what kind of church do you pastor? Says it, Southern Baptist? American Baptist? Yeah, it was one of those. This guy knows something about church. And I said, yeah, we're an independent Baptist church. I didn't want to scare him too much and say we're independent fundamental. No. But I said, no, we're an independent Baptist church. No, the truth is, he looked at me and he said, what college did you go to? I said, I went to a college in Crown Point, Indiana. Now, when I said that, I didn't think he was, anyways, I won't go there yet. But I said Crown Point, Indiana. I didn't say the name. I just said, yeah, I went to a Bible college in Crown Point, Indiana. We're throwing boxes down the conveyor belt. And he stops and he goes, Hiles Anderson? Tucson, Arizona. What in the world? Hiles Anderson? And I went, yes. Here's what he said. Here's a guy that's cussing, swearing, smelled like smoke, just rotten attitude. He said, I used to go there. Now, I'm going to kill the moment, but in my stupidity, you know, have you ever said something and you thought, why did I say that? First words that came out of my mouth was, what happened? And I shouldn't have said that, but that's just what came out. But he said to me this, and I need to wrap it up. He said to me that, I got financially withdrawn and married somebody, and she wasn't the one for me. Made some wrong choices in my life. I tried to get him to come to church. And, you know, his life, I don't know where he's at today. You know, he definitely wasn't talking like a citizen of heaven. And I want you to examine yourself this morning. I definitely need to quit. College student, are you living like a citizen of heaven? Do you have your eyes set on heaven? Are you willing to forsake some things to follow Christ? Are you willing to obey the rules? Are you willing to care for yourself? Do you understand your calling in life? And that's to follow him. And then that last letter. Set your eyes toward heaven. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Lord, I definitely want to be of help to our students, and I hope that they have received this message with the right spirit. Please, Lord, help us. I want to follow you, Lord. I don't want to be someone who hurts or leads another astray. Please help us all, Lord, to stay on the pathway of holiness, pathway that you would have us to follow. As you're coming forward, the piano plays. Would you let God work in your heart? Make some decisions today. Let God move in your heart. We're almost done with this semester, and some of you are looking, what do I do next? I gave you some thoughts on how God can help you to decide what to do next. May God help us.